Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
At various times in my life, I have participated in Habitat for Humanity house builds. I think the first time that I did this, I was in college working with a group from my dormitory. And we were assigned the task of putting shingles on a roof. The contractor who was teaching us gave us very clear instructions, showed us the use of the plumb line, and how each time that we went to do a new row of shingles, we simply had to stretch out the line, snap it, put in the shingles, and on we would go. So being college students, we listened and we nodded and we got up on the roof and we did the plumb line the first time and nailed in the shingles. We did it the second time, we nailed in the shingles. And then we thought, well, how hard can it be to follow the line of shingles, right? So we stopped using the plumb line. Sure enough, when we got to the roof line, we were perfectly on target on the left side of the roof, and there is space for an entire another shingle on the other side. When the contractor came back around lunchtime, he just shook his head and said, back up on the roof, they all come down, and made us pull out every single row of the shingles back to where we had stopped using the plumb line. Even with experiences like that under my belt, I still, throughout my life, tend to get into the habit of thinking that I can measure my own behavior and my own progress without the use of some external guide. Just on this mission trip to South Dakota, I had a very similar experience. We were being taught how to string the sun cat or the dream catchers, the circles with the webbing in between them, by one of the elders of the tribe. And Eddie was very clear. When he began, he said, you take the sinew. We were using sinew instead of string. And he said, the length of my arms is a yard. He said, I don't know the length of your arms, but you should get a yardstick. And you should measure a yard. And we need 12 yards of sinew to go around the dream catcher enough times. Well, this sounds great. So we start measuring 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And sure enough, about half of us ran out of sinew before we got to the end of our dream catchers. And Eddie was so funny, he said, did you use a yardstick? How did you end up so short? And we're, well, no, not exactly. And so he had to teach us how to splice pieces of sinew together and to continue weaving. When Amos is talking to the Hebrew people in today's gospel lesson, they are having just a normal human time in their lives. This is actually a time of peace and prosperity for the Hebrew people. They are going through their lives just as we might go through our lives. And out of nowhere, God summons this herdsman. So he was not poor. He was not necessarily one of the wealthiest people in the house of Israel. But they summon this keeper of cattle and sheep, or a dresser of sycamore trees. And God sends him into the middle of the Hebrew people to proclaim, you have strayed from the plumb line. It might have been just a little bit each time, but whereas you should be here in caring for the orphans and the widows and the poor and the incarcerated and the most vulnerable among us, you are now here. And my temple, says the Lord, has become the sanctuary of the king, which, of course, to God, is the most grievous offense that could happen. As Christians, we are so blessed to have the example of Jesus Christ and his service to the most vulnerable people among us as our plumb line, as the thing that we can focus our lives on and that helps us be sure that we are staying true. None of us intends to become selfish and greedy and self-centered and focused on ourselves. But without a regular call back to the plumb line to say, am outside of myself? Am I full of gratitude to God for the many blessings in my life? Am I aware of the needs of the people around me? Am I responding to them as much as I possibly can at this point in my life? Without that regular return, we can easily find ourselves straying. The mission trip that the youth Angela Dick and I just returned to is one of the fastest ways that I know in my life to reestablish that plumb line. When you live among a people who, as their missioner Lauren Stanley says, is historically oppressed and currently depressed, your sense of gratitude for the most basic things in life is overwhelming. There is an unemployment rate of 87% on Rosebud Reservation. If every single job on the reservation was filled, there would still be 60% unemployment. They only have a 45% graduation rate from high school, and from there, the children have to leave or become unemployed. We all have heard of the incredibly dramatic problems with drugs and alcohol, which, when you have been given land that is unfarmable, when you have access to almost no health care, when it is truly a food desert, ask our youth who are used to their parents cooking them organic and delicious healthy fruits and vegetables, how frustrating it was for them to eat, because we could not afford to eat as we were accustomed to eating. And when you have no structure to your days, when you don't have a sense that your talents and your gifts are being used in any way, it's no wonder that the Lakota people have such a heavy dependence on drugs and alcohol simply to survive. Lauren, the missioner, is you may meet her again in August. She'll be on Cape for a little bit. She's in her mid-50s, incredibly strong presence, and in one of the first talks to us, she said, "Kids, you need to know that my mission here has nothing to do with putting butts in the pews." She said, "Our job is to bring hope to a desperate people." My friends, every single one of us are called to bring hope to desperate people. For some of us, that might be comforting the many members of our community who are grieving. Reaching out to them with tenderness and loving care and supporting them through this difficult time in their lives. For others of you, it might be volunteering with the Amazing Grace Camp for children whose parents are incarcerated, which is coming up at the end of August. For others of you, it might be shopping to help us stock the back-to-school store that Allison and the Sunday School is putting together along with Cape Cod Child Development. Ann Colwell is our new executive director, and we have just begun a series of conversations with Ann about how we can bring hope to the most precious and vulnerable children of Cape Cod in partnership with her agency, other churches, and other government agencies. Perhaps your call to bring hope to a desperate people in reorienting your lives to a plumb line is in visiting the many sick among our parish, or the many lonely elders of Cape Cod. This is a broken and hurting world, and each of us is blessed beyond measure. As sweet Alice Conium, you may recognize Alice, she usually sits right there in the third pew, is impeccably dressed with hats and is almost 98 years old. Alice says every Thursday at the Thursday breakfast group, "I'm blessed to be out of bed and alive." Amen, Alice. As each and every one of us reflects on what is the plumb line in our lives, have we gotten a little bit lazy and strayed, thinking that we can do it ourselves? These readings, as difficult and as challenging as they are such an invitation for us to embrace our gospel calling to bring hope and joy to such a troubled world. And this community of St. Mary's is so extraordinary with the abundant opportunities that you all create in our community here at St. Mary's and in our broader community of Cape Cod to share God's love with people who are so desperately in need of it. week, I hope that you will allow Amos to speak into your hearts and into your minds, that you will see God's plumb line in your life, and that you will be gentle with yourself when you notice that you may have strayed, and proactive in returning to whatever area God might be calling you to today, as we all strive to follow Jesus and bring hope to this broken world. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand and profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.